Okay, no, on page 984, all the way on top. Last time we were discussing about the mon. Last time we were discussing about benching, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. We're discussing about the Shiva Saminim, the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem is telling the Jewish people, basically, that look at all the good stuff I'm giving you. You know, just make sure you behave and do what's right. So it says now like this, Yishamar Lecha, you should be careful. Ventishkach HaSeshem Lekach, Hashem is saying, look, I did all those miracles in the desert. I brought you into the land flowing with milk and honey, and you get copper and everything good you want. So therefore he says, Yishamar Lecha, you have to be careful. Ventishkach HaSeshem Lekach, lest you forget. Sometimes, like the Pasuk soon going to say, you have it too good. When you have it too good, people start forgetting about Hashem. The Vilti Shmer Mitzvesev Mishpatev Chukesev, not to keep his mitzvahs and his logical mitzvahs, the illogical mitzvahs, Asher Anechi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I'm commanding you today. And he says, what's going to happen? Penteicha V'Savata, you're going to eat a lot and you're going to be full. And Ubatim Tevim Tivna, you're going to build beautiful houses, V'Yashavta, and you're going to sit in it. V'Karcha V'Tzeimcha Yirbiyun, and you're going to have a lot of cattle and sheep and everything, and goats. V'chesev v'zahav yirbalach, and you're going to have a lot of money. V'chol ha'shelucho yirbin, everything that you have will be in abundance.
Heaven.
In other words, there's going to, huh?
Heaven.
Heaven, yeah, well, too much heaven. The pasuk says, you're going to get rich in all those things. Now, it's interesting, because these things could be used in one of two ways. The Gemara says, Isha no, beautiful wife. Bayis no, beautiful home. Kalim no, beautiful appliances, broaden the mind of a person. So sometimes, if the gashmiyistika things, the physical things are used for the right purposes, they're very, very good. But if you start forgetting Hashem, because you have, it's a whole continuation we need to speak. And he says, V'dam levavecha, you're going to become haughty, and you're going to forget God. And by the way, the Gemara says that this is one of the sources in Torah that you're not allowed to be haughty, gava, ego. Because the Pasuk says, "V'ram levavecha," you're going to become haughty. V'shachachta Hashem alakecha, you're going to forget God. Hametziyachem Eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, Yibes Avadim, all the goodness Hashem did to you. And Amalechacha b'Midbar Agadol v'Neiro, he took you in this big, awesome desert. Nachar, Sora, v'Akrav, snakes and scorpions, and all these various different things, fiery serpents and snakes and scorpions. V'Tzimayin, Asher Ein b'Mayim, and in a place normally that would not have any water. And yet, Ameitzi l'cho mayim, Hashem took out water from you, Mitzura Chalomish, from a flintstone. A flintstone has no water in it. If anything, a flintstone is the source of fire. You can rub it together, and you could create fire. So Hashem says, look what I did for you. I took you out of Egypt. I brought you in a desert with a snake, scorpion, and nothing touched you. Not only that, you had water, and you had malchim ucham, man b'midbar. He fed you the man in the desert. Asher l'yodun avisachad. Your parents didn't even know about it. Nobody had man until that. Why? L'mana neischa, in order to afflict you, or l'mana seisecha, in order to test you, l'hitivcha b'achrisecha, to do good at the end, because like we learned last day, the bottom line of every test is you should become a better level than before.
The man is an affliction?
It was a certain type of affliction, because they had to go out to get it, and they had to bake it, and also, like we said before, why did the warriors complain if they had the man? Because you didn't see it.
No substance.
There was no substance to it. Yeah, tasted whatever you wanted, but you still it didn't, you know, you see a piece of steak, you know. It's different than the man tasting like steak. Can you imagine chewing gum and it tastes like steak compared to a piece of snake, a steak? You know, you can't compare it. So,
which color was it, white?
Or white. Because that a God love him. It says clearly in the Pasuk it was white.
Because he wrote it, food of neshama, they didn't have desire for relation.
Not only that, it didn't make them full. The man didn't satisfy to make them full. We learned last time. Okay, so this is all continuation. So Hashem's warning you, what's going to happen? I'm bringing you to this beautiful land, full of milk and honey and money, everything you want, and you're going to start getting rich, and you're going to start forgetting about Hashem. And this is the punchline, so to speak. You're going to say in your hearts, my strength and my might and my hand made me all this wealth. Okay? So what, it gets to a point, the person forgets about God, and he says, it's my brain, my, you know, they tell a story. There was a Jew that was going to a very important meeting, he was running late. And there was no parking place. There's no parking spot. So he's circling the block and it's getting late. He says, God, I'll make you a deal. If you get me a parking place, I'll put on tefillin, whatever, I'll do a mitzvah. Second he said it, a guy pulled out from a spot.
What did he say?
He said, God, forget it, I found my own spot. He said, God, it's okay, I found the spot, right? I don't need you. Forgot the deal's off. This is exactly what's going on. Hashem gave us everything. Hashem gives us everything. And a person is going to come and say, this is my own doing. That is the worst type of ego. Because you're biting the hand that feeds you. Hashem gives you everything. And then you're coming along and say, it's not God, it's me. And by the way, the same thing it says also is very important. This is a very important concept. Even when Jews go to war, you know, the secular Jews say, oh, Israel is successful in the war because they have a good military and they're smart and they have good generals. I mean, that's the same thing. They're going to say, this made me all this wealth. And the Jew has to know, you need to remember Hashem. Hashem gives you the strength to make that wealth. Why? Leman hakim es brisi, to establish and fulfill the covenant that he swore to Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. So the pasuk says, you're not allowed to say in any way whatsoever, or think even, and it's interesting, even to yourself, it's forbidden. Not only do you not say it publicly, but the person with Bavavach will say, oh, I think, you know what, it's not God, it's my ability, it's my capabilities, I'm smart, I have a good mouth, I have a good foot, I can kick, I could, you know, whatever it is. The Torah says you should know that it's nothing of your own doing. Everything you have is only straight from Hashem. Even if you cheat in business and make a lot of money, it's only because Hashem gave you the ability to cheat. to make the money. Kayem azeh means as this day.
This day. Is it continuous or not?
What's no, kayem azeh means just like today is for sure day. That's the way Hashem promised to the forefathers, and that's what he's keeping to them. But he's saying, I'm doing it not because you necessarily deserve it. I'm doing it because Hashem said, I promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to give it to you. But it's not that you necessarily deserve it.
But they have to keep the mitzvah to have it.
Yeah.
The condition.
There's another passage that said, by the way, Shemanta, you got full. Shemanta, Shemin, like you got very full. Avisa, you got thick. Kasisa, you rebel. And a person needs to remember that whenever they're blessed with a bracha, that Hashem gives them something, they have to remember it's not their own doing, it's mamish from Hashem. It's not, it's compared to v'dam levavecha v'shachachta, that the Gemara says, by having ego, it's like worshipping idols. Because what did the Pasuk say before? In Pasuk Yudalit, v'dam levavecha, you're going to be haughty, that means gaiva, v'shachachta s'shema, you're going to forget God, you're going to start worshipping yourself, or other gods, or whatever it may be. So he says, this haughtiness is a very, very bad thing, because you basically deny everything that Hashem gives us. The Gemara says that Hashem says about a haughty person, "Ein ani v'hu yecholim l'odor." I cannot coexist with a person who's haughty. And the Gemara gives an analogy. There's an empty vessel you could put something into. If it's a full vessel, you can't put anything into it. So the Gemara says this. If a person is full of himself, then there's no room for God. God says, well, there's no room for me. You're full of yourself. When a person is not full of themselves, then you can have a place for godliness in your heart. So this is the Torah's warning that even when you make it good, because, like we know, the test of wealth, the Gemara says, is harder than the test of poverty. Because the test of wealth is you're more prone to forget about Hashem than if you're poor. And therefore, it's a worse thing.
Poor, you always pray to get rich.
Huh?
Poor, always you pray to get rich. But you, as the money, doesn't need to pray.
The rich never prays to get poor. No, the rich never pray to get poor.
The reverse.
Even though there's a few stories in the Gemara that they did. That they did pray to get poor. But that was a different level of people. Okay. By the way, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara says, Rabbi was very, very rich. The richest man in his time. And yet, Rabbi used to give honor to rich people. Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim. Rabbi used to give honor to rich people. So it says, why? What makes him better people? Why should he honor better people? They're not smarter necessarily. They're not better. They're not kinder. So he says, why is that? So one of the explanations is because Rabbi understood that if Hashem entrusted this person, it's all Hashem's money. Everything's Hashem's money. Hashem gives me my money, he gives you your money, him, your everybody gets their money from Hashem. But it's Hashem's money. We're just the caretakers and the managers of God's estate. So a person that God entrusted with a bigger management portfolio, that means a person must be fit from Hashem. It must be a special characteristic that he should be able to manage a bigger portfolio of God. But we're only managing God's money. And therefore, it says in Svarim that when you give tzedakah, you're not giving your money. You're giving Hashem's money. Hashem is, you're just managing. It's like a guy that's very wealthy as a manager that manages the estate. It's not his money he's giving away. He's giving away the boss's estate. We're giving away God's estate. He just trusted us with the money that he gives us. So therefore, a person has to be very careful not to bring a tawdiness in any way whatsoever. Okay. Then the pasuk says like this: "Vayom shebarchech tishkach." Okay, "Vayom shebarchech tishkach es Hashem alakacha." It will be if you forget about God. And again, the mafashim ask a simple question: why does it say "shebarchech tishkach"? Forget, you will forget. You'll forget. Why does it say double expression? So it says like this interesting point. If you start forgetting a little bit about God, you're going to end up forgetting a lot about God. It doesn't start with forgetting a lot. The pasuk says in Shachayach Tishkach, if you start forgetting a little bit, then Tishkach, you're going to forget even more about God. Why? Because a little Aveda causes a bigger Aveda, and a bigger Aveda causes a bigger Aveda. One thing causes the next. As Hashem Elokecha, V'alachton, you're going to go after other gods, it's a wrong definition. Elokim Achim doesn't mean other gods because there's only one God. Elokim Achim mean gods of others. It's a very interesting definition. When you say Elokim Achim, first of all, the Rebbe writes, we don't say Elohim Achim, even though it's other gods. We're not talking about Hashem. You say Elokim Achim, like you would, but Elokim Achim means not other gods. A Jew can never say there's another God, because there's only one Hashem, that's it. Elokim Acheri means gods of others.
People.
Not other gods, gods of other people. Vavadatam, and you're going to serve them. Vishtaravisa lehem, and you're going to come bow to them. Haideisi b'chem ayem, Hashem says, I am testifying today. Ki avei teveidun, you're going to be perished. You're going to die. You're going to get killed. Now, another thing it says like this. It says you will worship them and you will bow to them. What is the double expression? It's also double. You'll worship them and you bow to them. So it says you come and start worshiping them a little bit. What does it mean worshiping them again? You give them a little bit of importance. The end result will be, Vishtachavi Salam, you're going to become completely bowing to them. Once you turn, in fact, in Shema we say, your heart will turn away. V'sartem. Sartem means sorry. You're going to turn. V'avadetem alakim achedim. So it says in Sfarim, the Mefoshim of Chumash, say, we're going to see it in Parsha Sekev later on. V'sartem, just by turning a little bit away from God, the Torah says, just a little turn, you're already worshipping idols. There's no such thing as, you know, oh, I'll do a little bit. Once is v'sartam, v'avadatam. The Torah says, once v'avadatam, once you start serving them in any way whatsoever, you become an eved to them.
Sheesh.
So then right away, v'shtachavis on them, you're going to become addicted to them, you're going to bow to them, and so on. So Hashem says, if that's what you do, I want you to know, I'm testifying ki ovei tevedum. And then the pasuk continues, kagoyim asher Hashem mavim b'mnechem, just like the nations that Hashem made destroyed before you, because they were idol worshippings, kein tevedum. So you're also going to get lost. Why? For one reason only. Eikav leisishmuun b'kel Hashem devarei elokeichem. And again, it's another interesting thing. It doesn't say because you worshipped idols, because you didn't listen to Hashem. Okay? So he says, what's the source of it? And this Mefarshim explained this whole pasuk together like this. The source of it is that you get rich and you think you did it. That's the source of all evil. Gemara says, the source of all evil is ego. It's the source of all ego. By the way, it doesn't only mean here wealth in a physical sense of money. It could be wealth, the person says, oh, I'm a great musician. It's my greatness that I'm a great musician. Or I'm a great speaker, or I'm a great brilliant guy, or I'm a great writer, or composer, whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean money. If a person thinks that anything they accomplished is their own doing, the Torah says you should know that's Aveda Zara. You have to remember, everything a Jew has is from Hashem. In every part of our life, this whatever we're able to do is only because of Hashem. Once we say, that's mamash, the key to go worshipping idols. That's what the pasuk is teaching us over here. Okay. Shema Yisrael. Okay. Shema Yisrael. Here Eden. Okay. Ata Eved Ayem Ese Yardin, you are passing today the Yard. Doesn't mean today, I mean because we didn't cross that day. Lavei L'resh is Goyim, to go conquer, inherit Goyim. G'delim V'asumim Mimeka, bigger and stronger than you, and we'll soon see what that means. Odim G'delis U'Vetzuris B'Shemayim. Okay? Now what does it mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying today, Shema Yisrael? What's this expression of Shema Yisrael? Meshe Rabbeinu was telling the Yidden, this is being done for the Arachayim over here. Here means, he wanted them to understand. Shema Yisrael means, not only here, physically here, but it means, as in Yiddish, as an expression, deadhead, and means to actually penetrate the listening, so to speak. Meshe Rabbeinu is saying that, this is the way Arachayim learns, Shema Yisrael ata ever ayem es hayardin. So Chaim says like this, "Merch Moshe Rabbeinu telling, I can't daven for myself anymore to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said finished, right? So he says, but you're going, so maybe you should daven for me. So he asks, he's asking the Jews to please daven for him. So he hinted to them that they were about to enter the land, and see, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling, hinting. He couldn't tell them clearly because Hashem said no, but he's hinting to them daven. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't daven for him.
If they did, they go?
Probably not anyway, but they should have tried. They should have tried. You know what, like we said last time, Hashem doesn't want to always that we should do something. He wants us at least to try it. They should have tried davening for Moshe Rabbeinu.
Rabbeinu?
What?
That's why it says Hayom.
Well, Hayim again. Hayim doesn't literally mean today because they didn't go by today.
No, for the Jews to get the hint that start davening for me.
That could be. That could be why it says Hayim. I want you to start davening today.
Yeah, today.
Yep. Now Rashi says over here like this. What does it mean? G'daylim v'atzumim mimeka. He said, bigger and stronger than you. Yeah. So Rashi says you're strong, but they're even stronger. Instead, that's what Rashi is saying. Agdelim v'atzumim mimekah, meaning Rashi says in the Medrash, Atem atzum, you're strong, but they're even stronger than you.
Is that how the Jews make him strong?
No. No.
Like when they were walking and they said in their eyes were grasshoppers?
No, no. The Pasuk is saying the Tak is stronger. The Tak is strong nations. Mm. The Lamed Aleph Malachim are very, very powerful nations.
Do you know how many people
were there? Giant, huh? They were there.
I mean, how many Goyim they destroyed?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. I've never seen anywhere in the Mount. But this Pasuk is another source, by the way. It says, big cities, of Vetzur is fortified, meaning with walls, by Shemaim to the heavens. Now the Gemara learns out, not only from this, from the Meraglim also, that you're allowed to exaggerate. The Gemara discusses, are you allowed to exaggerate?
Only that.
Because L'chay, it's a lie.
About Israel or anything
else? No, Ebechol, about anything. You're allowed to exaggerate.
In Torah, we have a lot of exaggeration, even in punishment, exaggeration.
No, punishment, not exaggeration, that's the problem. But this pasuk is an exaggeration. Like, one second, for instance, if there's a big crowd, somebody, there were a million people there. There wasn't a million, but it was maybe 1,000 people. So that's not a lie. And we learned out from this pasuk, one of the psukim, it said the cities were great with walls, bashamayim to the sky. There weren't walls up to the sky. Yet we see the Torah speaks, the Gemara calls it Lashon Havoi, an expression of exaggeration. From here, the Gemara learns out that you're allowed to exaggerate. It's not called lying. When you exaggerate, it's not a lie. In fact, I mentioned this in the past. Somebody once asked the Rebbe, you know, all newspapers, if they're at a function, 100 people, yeah, they write there are 500 people there. So somebody once asked the Rebbe, how do religious newspapers lie? There are 100 people there. How could they write 500? That's a lie. There weren't the 500. There's a 100. So the Rebbe answered, because everybody knows that in newspaper language, 500 means 100. Because everybody knows newspapers exaggerate. So if the newspaper is going to write the truth that there are 100 people there, everybody's going to think there are only 10 people there. And that's not true. So it says in newspapers, 500, and everybody knows it means 100.
They make
it's not a lie, because that's the language.
They make it more attention if you exaggerate. Yeah? That's the reason.
Yep. People listen more. People... But there are attacker fortified cities. Well, what's interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sent the Meraglim, told them the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, when you go check out the cities, you should see if they're open or fortified. So Rashi says in the Gemara, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? If the cities are open, that means they're very strong because they're not afraid. Let anybody come, they're not afraid of them. They're very powerful. If they're fortified, it shows that they were weak. That's when they needed protection. Here the Pasuk is saying both. They were strong and they had fortified cities. Which shows how it wasn't they had fortified cities because they were weak. Rashi, the Pasuk says, are stronger than you, plus fortified cities. In addition to that, am gadol v'ram, there were the straight, great, lofty people, b'nei anakim, the children of the giants. Because there are actually giants there, like they said. Asher atah yadaita, which you know, and you've heard, mi yitzyatzu, who can stand lefnei b'nei anak? Who can stand in front of a giant? Right? So normally you're going to get scared. So the pasuk says, no, v'yadaita hayim. You should know, though, ki Hashem alekechu hu eivel lefanech. It's not people going. You're not fighting your own war that you have to be afraid of the fortified cities or you have to be afraid of the giants. Hashem said, Hashem is going. Eish eich lahu, he's a consuming fire, meaning it's a fire that's going to burn everybody down. Hu yashmidem, he's going to destroy them. Hu yachniyem, and he will subjugate them lefanech in front of you. Ve'irashtem, and you're going to inherit it. Ve'avadetem maher, and you will drive them out quickly. Kashadiba Hashem loch, like Hashem commanded, like Hashem told you. So he said to the Jews, listen, now that I gave you Musa, And now I told you to listen to Hashem and not go, you know, against the will of Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, I want you to remember, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you're going into big nations, you have nothing to be afraid of. Right? When David met Goliath, let's go David and Goliath, yeah? So Goliath said to him, he said, what, are you mocking me? You're sending this kid, this baby, David HaMelech was a kid, and Goliath was this massive giant, yeah? So he said, what are you so David said, it's not me. I'm coming b'shem Hashem. I'm coming to fight you with God, not with the... And think about it. He used a slingshot. What did David HaMelech come? He used a slingshot. In fact, the Pasuk says, when Shaul HaMelech sent him, yeah, after he agreed to go, Shaul HaMelech wanted to give him his armor. David HaMelech said, ah, it's too big, it's too bulky, it's no good for me, I don't want it. He went with a slingshot. A slingshot. And a giant, I mean, you know that's mamish nothing. They can't do anything. It's like a joke. Yet did not go, he's dead. Why? Because he didn't come with himself. He came with Hashem. Like he says, Hu yashmidim, Hashem is going to destroy them. Hu yachniim lefanach, he's going to subjugate them. And you're going to, exactly what Hashem said. Exactly what Hashem did.
So, Rabbi, what happened to the giants? They killed them?
They killed them.
They killed them all?
All the giants were killed.
So any relation between the other giants at the time of the Damela?
There were very few left. It wasn't like in Eretz Yisrael.
Were there some left?
Goliath was relatively a giant, yeah.
Or was the last one?
Goliath Pasha was the last. But when the Jews came in Eretz Yisrael, like the Meraglim said, Gam b'nei anokri inushom, we saw a lot of giants there. So that generation, the Meraglim, they all died out now, right? So they all came back and said the big giants were afraid of them. So Hashem's telling the newer generation, the new age people, Hashem says, you have nothing to be afraid of. You're not fighting. I'm fighting. So what's the big deal? There's no problem. And then, another thing the Torah is saying that the Jews have to be careful with. Okay? He says, you shouldn't say in your heart like this. When God is pushing them away before you, you shouldn't think like this. Because of my righteousness, God did this. To inherit this land, a Jew will come along and say, you know why God did it? Because I'm such a tzaddik. God killed them all out. And, Bereshis Hagoyim O'Ela, and the evil of that people, Hashem erishim mipanecha. Okay. Now it says like this. That's not true. It wasn't because of you. Okay. It's because, like he said, because Hashem promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Still, I should think like this. Everything God do it for us because of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Yeah, it's going to soon say it was all because of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
As this day, right now.
Right. You shouldn't say, number one, that a shliach did it, not God himself, number one. And it's not because we did it, because Hashem says, you don't deserve it either.
What about all the accumulated mitzvahs?
What generation? It's one generation then.
Now.
But still, Hashem says, whatever has happened is happening is because, like he's going to soon say in the past, you're a stubborn necked nation. In other words, the Pasuk is saying like this, don't forget about Hashem.
Okay.
Hashem is doing it miracles, and don't think you deserve the miracles. Don't think you deserve the miracles. What is the purpose of all this? What does he care? Let the Jew think. Because that ruins everything. When the person thinks that this that Hashem is doing it for me is because I'm great, that's again, keichi ve'itzim yodi. Again, the person says, oh, God is doing it because I'm great. Hashem says, it's nothing to do with you.
If you are sadiq,
The Gemara gives a story. The Gemara tells the story. You know, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, yeah? Yericho. Okay? They surrounded the city for 6 days. And then the Pasuk says in Yeshua, the seventh day, which was Shabbos, yes, the walls came down. And the Gemara says Yericho was the key to Eretz Yisrael. Once he conquered Yericho, everything else went easy. So it says, what were the six? So the Medrash says, it was Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Yosef. Okay? And then they surrounded the one who walked seven times, and then the walls fell down. So the Pasuk, so the Mefash, Hashem saying here, that you should know later on when that happens, you should know it was the six tzaddikim that made Yericho collapse. Not you. You circled the 6 days you were around the city. That's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. These were the tzaddikim that made it happen. And not you. The advantage, again, once a person starts mixing their own personal self into it, I did it, I accomplished it, it kills it, it ruins it.
But the tzaddik expected that God do something for him, for tzaddik. Somebody's tzaddik, you know, expected God do something for him.
Yeah,
so what do you
mean? A tzaddik doesn't think that way. What? Yaakov Avinu, when he came back, what did he do? He said to Hashem, I need help. He didn't say, God, I'm a tzaddik, help me. He was scared. Yeah. Huh?
Coming to meet Esau.
Yeah, coming to meet Esau. Yaakov was scared. So the Mefarshim asked, how could Yaakov be scared? Hashem promised him by the dream with the ladder, I'm going to bring you back to your father's house. So what's he scared about? One second. So some people say, then Yaakov only went himself. Mm. Now he had a whole family. So he was pretty, but all everybody. But most Mefarshim answer, Yaakov Avinu didn't feel that he was a big enough tzaddik to get all these merits. And any merit that he had, he used up in Lavan's house, that Lavan didn't kill him. What?
In the case of Yericho and David and Goliath, you see the hand of Hashem completely. But in the war between Israel and Arab, you cannot see the hand of Hashem so clearly. So the people doubt that maybe this is our army, you know. You don't see...
Hello, you have to speak only good...
One come down or we did something, we kill the other one. You know, of course, I believe, but the other people, they have, we have to have tanks, we have to have rifle, we have to go war, we have to do, you know.
You have to make a Kaylee, okay? But let me explain something. The fact, even now in the Gaza war, yeah? The fact that 70 Jews, it's a lot, a really lot. But relatively speaking, the amount that should, I don't want to use the word, should have gotten killed. In Derech HaTeva, in the natural way, there should have been thousands and thousands of Jews killed. God forbid, how you see it. Yeah? It was mamish a miracle. The Jews fought the wars. Nobody, le'nifka b'menu ish. Not one person was killed, or one person taken captivity. Yeah? One war in Chumash, v'yish b'menu shavi. They were one captor they captured. And right away the Jews got him back. Jews need to realize that you're one sheep among 70 wolves, kivsachab and shivim ze'evim. But the truth is even more. It's not shivim ze'evim anymore. The Gemara uses the expression shivim ze'evim because the Gemara always speaks about the 70 nations. Now what are there, 150? Whatever the amount of nations there are, yeah? They're all offshoots of the 70. But there's not one place that loves Jews. Not one. See, one tiny little country, mamish, tiny country, with all the, everybody, enemy, the whole world around
enemy,
them,
enemy.
And they're still existing. Anybody with a little bit of brains, to think a little bit, says, yeah, it must be a miracle. Even if you're going to say, yeah, we have a great army. But still, a great army, yeah, 5 million people, compared to 6 billion people. Everybody wants to destroy the Jews, right? 6 billion people want to destroy the Jews, and there's only 5 million Jews. You can have the best army in the world. That the Jews are existing today is a miracle. So the pasuk says, don't think to say, 984, closer to the bottom. Don't think it's a miracle, your own doing, that you did something great, that Hashem did a miracle. I mean, that it's your doing, your righteousness. Hashem says, nothing to do with you, because otherwise, even that wouldn't work.
Right.
Hashem says, in the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he's going to say, I swore to them, and that's what I'm keeping. It's not that you necessarily deserve it. But this is, you know, if a person stops to think for a minute, the fact that Jews are still existing today is an unbelievable miracle. Under any certain, and you can have the best army. Israel can have the best army in the world. But you know what? You have the whole world's army against them. Mm. And that's reality. And yet the Jews are existing.
Already it's less than 1% of 1%.
Right.
Sixth war is everybody say that when it once started, they say Israel cannot tolerate this much.
Everybody said they're going to destroy Israel.
Sixth war is very.
Okay, so the pasuk says three lines in the end of the page. Al tem b'vavcha, you shouldn't say to Yahweh, when Hashem pushes all the way these nations in front of you, you should not say b'tzikasi avinani Hashem, it's my righteousness. To bring the to inherit the land, and also the evil of the nations, Hashem Merisha Mipanacha, that's why Hashem gave it to you. The pasuk says, no. It's not in your righteousness, okay? Or in the uprightness, the properness of your heart, you're inheriting the land, okay? Now, Rashi and Ramban explain here a very interesting point. First, Hashem said before, you shouldn't see Koichi Va'etzim Yadi Asili Asachai Lezeh, right? When he's about destroying the nations. You shouldn't say, it's my power that did it. Now Hashem's going, that's the physical. In other words, like this. Jews will always argue points. First they'll say, it's our physical might. Koichi Va'etzim Yadi Asili Asachai, my physical strength made all this happen. Hashem said, don't even think about that. Then Hashem takes it a step further. So now you come along as holy Jews and say, oh, forget the physical. Yes, not the physical. It's my holy righteousness, and that's why Hashem won the war. The pasuk says, not your righteousness, and it's not their evil. Like he said, Leibitz in Koscho, top of 986. Over Yeshe the straightness of your heart. Bala Reshes is Artsam. It's not, it's two things. Number one, number one is the wickedness of those nations that Hashem makes you inherit. And also, to fulfill what Hashem swore, to give the land to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem says, you should know that's the only reason you're getting the land.
Land or everything?
Huh?
Not only land, everything.
Everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Because the question is, even if the Goyim are wicked, but why should the Jews get the land? You know, if the Goyim are wicked, and therefore Hashem's driving them out of the land, it's the question, well, why should the Jews get it? So Hashem says, there's only one reason. Because they swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What does it mean that Hashem swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? The concept of a shvuah, we learned this in previous parshas about a shvuah. The concept of a bond between two people, husband and wife, there's a marriage bond. David and Yonason made a bond between them, the both of them. What's the concept of a bond? Bris Milah is a bond between a Jew and Hashem. What does that mean? When things are good,
everything is good.
No, then you don't need a bond.
But
then it's good. What's the purpose of a bond? The purpose of a bond is that when things are not good, that means Seichel says you don't deserve it, but there's something above everything, above logic. Yeah, you're right. Logic says no good. Emotions say no good. But there's something above both of them. And because of that bond, That ba means, even though when logic says no, and midas say no, you do it anyway. Hashem says, I swore to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, meaning, do you deserve it? No. You don't deserve it. So why am I doing it? And not because you deserve it, because there's something that I promised Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, that the Jews, their children, are going to get the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, that is the reason and the only reason why you're getting the land, not because you deserve it. Because there's a connection between Hashem, the Jews, and the land, which is above logic. And that's why we find an interesting thing when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. When we're learning, we learned that a long time ago, in Parshas Maaseh. When the Jews got the land, it was divided two ways. It says, L'rav tarbe nachlosei, v'lam'at tamit nachlosei. Hashem said, a bigger tribe gets a bigger portion, smaller tribe gets a smaller portion. That's logical. It's logical. Logic says, you have more people, you need a bigger house. You have more, less people, you need a smaller house. Okay, it makes sense. And then the Torah says, "Ach begoydol yecholik ha'saaretz."
Gurer.
With lottery.
With that.
Ach begoydol yecholik ha'saaretz. That's a contradiction, because lottery is not necessarily seichel. If you make a lottery,
no.
So then a bigger tribe can get a smaller land, and a smaller tribe can get a bigger land. It's lottery. There's no logic. The miracle was they both worked together. But what? So what? So if it worked together anyway, so logic anyway won, so why did they make a girdle? Why did Hashem say make a girdle? The girdle anyway did what the logic said to do. Right? Otherwise, how did they divide the land? Yeah? What does it mean? Hashem says, the concept of a lottery is, again, something which is completely illogical. It doesn't make sense why this person won and this person didn't win. It doesn't make sense. There's no logic. Why you win the lottery? Why the guy that changes light bulbs? They're all the guys that win the lotteries are the guys that change light bulbs. Yeah? Like, why should they? There's no seichel there. Hashem says, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the connection between a Jew and Eretz Yisrael is two things. There's a logical connection, and there's an illogical connection. And Hashem says, this that I'm giving you, Eretz Yisrael, is not a logical reason, because you don't deserve it. And if the goyim are bad, okay, I could give it to somebody else. It's a relationship Hashem swore. That's the concept of a goyim, like swearing. It's illogical, it doesn't make sense, but there's something deeper than what makes sense. And that's why Hashem is emphasizing this so much. So Hashem's telling the Jews, don't think you're great, and that's why you deserved it. Because when you think you're great, all you're going to do is make trouble, like you said before. You're going to forget about God, and then you're going to come to worship idols, and so on and so forth. Okay. V'yadaito, and again, the Pasuk is repeating itself. V'yadaito, you should know. In Pasuk Vav, yeah? Kilei b'tzidkoscha, Hashem alakecha, neisen l'cha, yisar, satev, azayis, l'rishna. It's not because you guys are so good. Ki am ksheyere fata, you're a stiff-necked people. Okay? Now, what does it mean? So the point is says like this. Normally, stubborn people never listen to anybody. Stubborn people, by definition, never. Mm. Even when they're wrong, they're not going to listen to you. Mm. That's what stubborn people, right? Even though wrong, they can be 100% so clearly wrong, they'll never give in. Hashem says, you are stubborn people, and therefore you don't behave. Because even when somebody criticizes you, you don't listen. And the Torah says, Hashem criticized the Jews 10 times in the desert, and they didn't listen. They still didn't listen.
Oh, didn't we learn that stiff-necked people were like a mala? Was it actually good quality?
Every important thing in the world could be used for good and bad. Okay, for instance, we said this many times. The four elements, fire, air, earth, and water, right? Fire could be good, cook, warmth, and it could destroy. Water, you need to drink, it could flood. Wind, you need to breathe, but there could be a hurricane. Earth is good, you need everything to grow, but you can have an earthquake, yeah? Let me ask you a question. Being a nice person is good or bad?
Sometimes good, sometimes bad.
I'm serious. Being a nice guy is good or bad?
Both.
It depends what you use it for.
Yeah.
If you're a nice guy, and a guy wants to kill somebody, he says, you know, I need help. He says, yeah, I'm a nice guy, I want to help. Yeah. So I'm going to go help him kill the guy. Okay, you're a nice guy, but it's not good. Okay? Is stubbornness good or bad? It depends what it's used for.
He was pleading with Hashem, and he said that these are stiff-legged people. He wasn't putting them down.
Yes, he was. He was saying, what do you want from them? They're born that way. So what do you want from them? They don't listen. You made them that way. You made them stubborn. Now, I mean, really, think about it. Is a stubborn person a good quality or a bad quality?
You know, I know. Vegetarian is doing.
Is a knife good or bad?
Oh,
a knife is not good or bad. You could use it for good, and you could use it for bad.
Channel it the right way.
Okay. So, the fact that Jews are kshe'erif sometimes has its advantage. You know, if a Jew uses the stubbornness in the right way, meaning he doesn't give in to goyishkeit, he doesn't let goyim control him because he's stubborn in his Yiddishkeit, let's say, and therefore he doesn't want to let anybody control his Yiddishkeit, that's a good trait. But a person who's stubborn, and when you criticize him in Yiddishkeit that he should be doing something different, and he doesn't want to listen because he's stubborn, that's bad. Here Hashem is using it in a negative way. You're a stubborn people, and therefore, when you're told to do something, you don't do it because you don't listen. But any quality, kindness, yeah, is basically a good quality. But if you're kind to, for bad, you know, chokhma is very good. But you can have chachamim heim elohara. There's brilliant in doing evil. So is wisdom good? It depends how you use it. Is good midah, is kindness in the, is it good? Is jealousy bad?
Sometimes.
No, if you're jealous of somebody who does better than you in learning, and therefore kinesah from Tarbuch Chachma, the Gemara says, you're jealous of somebody who learns more, so it's going to make you better. That jealousy is good. But so generally speaking, jealousy is bad, but you can use it for good. Basically, stubborn-necked people is bad. It's not said as a compliment. But sometimes stubbornness can be a good quality. Depends on Hashem made everything. I'm making stubbornness. You could use it for good, or you could use it for bad. It's up to you. What's wrong?
The stiff-necked people refers to like humble people, right?
No. Stiff-necked people means just very stubborn, okay. And
they don't listen to you.
But humble person, always his head is down. It's like they have a pain in their
neck.
Let me tell you something. By the way, if you walk in the street with your head down, you're going to bang into somebody walking opposite you. Bang into the wall.
They're careful not to do anything.
It doesn't mean in a literal sense of your head down. It means, in a figurative way, that you have humility. You don't think, you know.
Right.
But it's figurative. It's not stiff-necked people. Here, the Torah is using a negative way. Hashem said, because you're stiff-necked people, therefore, on your own, you're not going to have the schus to go into Yisrael. That is a negative thing. But there's a good quality. There's a good quality of it, of being stubborn when it comes to your own Yiddishkeit.
I translate in Persian.
Rabbi, if you were not a stiff neck, in so 2,000 years, how shall we change our religion? It's so many.
Of course. Stubbornness is good. That when the goyim are making decrees against the Jews, we're stubborn. You know, even today, you know, Israelis.
Stubborn.
A very stubborn people.
Yeah.
You know, very tough.
Tough.
But that's their survival. The reason what?
But it doesn't sound very nice. In other words, if you would describe someone and the first and only thing you would say is, oh, that person's a stiff-necked person. It doesn't sound like this person is a generous person, or this person is an intelligent person, or this person is a...
You're right.
You know,
because
it doesn't sound like...
And nice. Jealous, when you say this is a jealous person, is that a good trait or bad trait?
Well, it doesn't sound nice.
It doesn't sound nice.
Even though it has, it's positive, but it doesn't
right.
sound
but
nice.
If you're jealous of somebody who does more than you, and therefore I'm going to do also more, I'm going to learn more, daven more, give more tzedakah, because that's a good quality. Because in our world, in our physical world, generally speaking, jealousy is a bad trait.
Right.
Okay? Anger... generally speaking, is a bad trait. Mm-hmm. Stiff neck, generally speaking, is a bad trait. But that doesn't mean, because, no, somebody asked the question, but it comes out that sometimes it says that it seems the greatness of the Jewish people is that they're stiff-necked. That there's an advantage of being stubborn.
Like when you describe Moshe Rabbeinu, you say he was the humblest person who ever was, right?
No.
You know, it sounds like a little, I don't know, it sounds nicer to me.
Because that quality of humility Moshe Rabbeinu had was taka a good quality.
But humbleness could also be used for not so good too.
Right. Correct. So it depends in context.
How you use it.
In context of how we're using it. Here when the Torah is speaking, I'm not taking you into Israel because, and the Torah said, because you're stiff-necked people, Hashem is saying it in a negative way. Hashem is not saying, oh, you're so good that that's why you're getting out of Israel. He says, no, that's the reason why you shouldn't be getting it. And the only reason I'm giving it to you is because I swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they should get it. So it all depends on context.
Still, I have a problem with this one. If you say, if you are Sadiq, not expect God give good things to you. I have a problem with this one. Because you have to be differentiated between somebody is not Sadiq or somebody is Rasha.
No.
So, if I'm Sadiq, God do something good for me, I say, because I'm doing good things, I get the reward. This is my reward. So you say, you don't accept your reward?
Like a Sadiq has a right to demand?
Demand?
A Sadiq has a right to demand.
Yeah. So... if the demand is...
But they don't.
If the demand is...
they think they have everything.
Tzaddik, you know, if you look in Torah, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu's demands were for himself or for the Jews.
It wasn't personal, never.
Nothing. The only thing he wanted to go was to go into Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
But that wasn't for him either. It was for the benefit of Bnei Yisrael, that this will be the ultimate geula. Does not... Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, Leicha Merechem, I never even asked him for a donkey. You know, when they were complaining, he said, I didn't even ask anybody for any help. I didn't ask anything from anybody. Yeah? Meshed Tzadikim, when they ask and besiege and beg and demand, by the way, demand, they're basically doing that for themselves. When non-Tzadikim beg, 99% of the time, they're asking for themselves. They're not asking for Klal Yisrael, for other people.
So you don't expect for reward?
The ultimate way is not serving Hashem for reward. We serve Hashem because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
So how come...
Wasn't it picky of us? Altiyu kavad and amenas lekabel prats. You shouldn't be doing it to receive reward.
You have to be something, they give you some motivation to do something. If you don't have motivation, you don't go.
Let me ask you a question. I ask this question many times. You woke up this morning?
Yes.
You're alive? You're alive?
No.
Baruch Hashem. You're functioning?
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable gift from God.
Yes. I accept.
Now, you deserve it, but me, the Marshal. Yeah? Do I deserve that God should do this unbelievable gift to me to make me alive and awake and functioning and healthy and everything? When I really don't do nearly anything what Hashem wants me to do.
If you do, you deserve to have it.
Yeah. And if I don't do what anywhere near what Hashem wants me to do.
They still give you.
Why? Because he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, should I think, wow, God made me wake up in the morning, God gave me health and happiness and everything, wow, I'm a real tzaddik?
No.
In fact, the Ramban asks an interesting question over here. In the earlier psukim, he says in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk says a contradictory statement to what we're learning here. He says, Ki mi'aves Hashem eschem, because of the love of God, that He loves you, and because He kept the shvur that He swore to your forefathers. Because of that, Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Yeah? The end of Parshas Veschanim. Over there, the Torah says, hey, man, God loves you guys. And also, He swore to your forefathers. But over there, Hashem's saying, you know, Hashem loves the Jewish people. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming along. He's saying, you guys, you know, the Ramban asked this question. Hashem is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, guys, you should be a bunch of bums. You're hopeless, worthless people. God has no choice. He swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's doing it for you. So it's a contradiction here before He says it. So the Ramban says an interesting thing. This that Hashem loves the Jews was a collective Jewish nation throughout history. The guys He's talking to now, He's screaming at. Hashem said, I love the Jewish people, but not you. I love the Jews, and my best friends are Jews, but not you. That's what Ramban answers. So he says, that generation He's speaking to now, He says, I want you guys to, yes, I love the Jewish people, but you guys, that's all. There's an opinion in the Gemara. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Kabbalah disagrees with, well, Kabbalah doesn't disagree. It says in the Mishnah Sanhedrin that the Dor HaMidbar, which is really not this generation, this is the generation that died in the Midbar, Ein Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, in the 10th parak, they have no Chelek in Olam Haba. Okay, why? What's the simple meaning? Look everything Hashem did for them, and look how they behaved. Look how they reacted. Terrible. Kabbalah says, Ein Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba, because they're higher than Olam Haba. That's what Kabbalah says. Turn everything around. So the Arizal says, Enam Chelek Olam Haba, they're even greater than Olam Haba. Olam Haba is only the Rei of the Shechina. The Dor HaMidbar is even greater. Okay. But you find that, you know, the Jews got all this stuff from Hashem. Everything from A to Z. He took them out of Egypt. He made them a nation. He gave them, took care of them 40 years. Their whole life, He fed them, dressed them, Mamash take a father takes care of a baby, like he says. Better yet would be a mother takes care of the baby. Father don't care. But what is it from? So generally speaking, Hashem says, to your generation, I want to tell you one thing. You should know this is only because Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, it's not you.
So if that in case, if you do Avera, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't do anything to you.
It's another human trait that we find, which Hashem has also. You know, Baal Shem Tov said, the real Avas Yisrael, loving a Jew is the key to loving God. In other words, if you want to love God, you have to love another Jew. Why? Because if you love a very close friend, not only do you love them, but you love their friends. So if Hashem loves every single Jew, by loving a Jew, you're loving who Hashem loves. Like this, you're only loving Hashem. Like this, you're loving even more, the Baal Shem Tov said. You're loving who God loves. You know, in human nature, if you have a close friend, you like their kids too. But you like the kids. And you don't like a guy, you don't like the kids either.
True.
So Hashem loved Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov so much that He loved the kids also.
That's true. So,